Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hi, everyone. It's Belinda Ellsworth, and I'm so excited to be here with you today from Work From Your Happy Place. Oh, we're going to have a great show today. I am absolutely honored to have my good friend with me, Debbie Bourdon. She is in one of the top 1% of real estate agents at Real Estate One and just does an absolute fantastic job, and all of her clients absolutely love her. Telling you a little bit about Debbie, she graduated from Eastern Michigan University with a double major in accounting and management. And knowing that her real interest was in management, she felt an accounting degree would land her with a company where she could eventually move into a management position. She started her career at Chelsea Milling Company, better known to the majority of you as the Jiffy Mix Company, where she was hired to run their computer and process payroll. During her 13 years there, she had worked in the accounting department, human resources, as well as management position. Is she had also worked with a direct sales company at that time selling jewelry in a way to make a supplemental income and a fun way to get out of the house and do something completely different than she was doing at her position at Jiffy Mix. At that point in her life, she felt it was really important to be home with her children as they were very active and involved in many different activities and just didn't want to miss out on those. And so she was able to be at home with them until they graduated from high school. Upon their graduation, she decided she wanted to take an opportunity to try something else. She wanted to kind of reinvent herself and get a new career. She wanted a career that wasn't 8 to 5, a career with some flexibility where she could go out to lunch with her girlfriends when she wanted, take a spontaneous vacation. The career for her was to sell real estate. She knew it would mean some work some weekends, and it was working some evenings, but that was okay. Her children had moved out of the house. Her husband was traveling a lot with work. So she began her career in real estate. Unfortunately, she started in 2006, right before the market, as we all know, took an incredible crash. Fortunately, her husband's job was very stable, and she was able to continue in that position and learn all the things that she needed to do, bringing to the table determination, lots of hard work. She has now become one of the top producers with Real Estate One, number one sales agent in her office here in Michigan, and in the top 1% in sales within the entire Real Estate One company. Real Estate One is the largest broker in Michigan and is the fifth largest in the United States. That's awesome. So welcome, Debbie.
Hello, Belinda. Thanks so much for inviting me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. So why don't you now fill in some of those gaps? I gave a really detailed bio of all the statistics and logistics, but why don't you fill in and tell us a little bit more so we can get to know Debbie?
Sure. Okay. Well, as I said in my bio, you know, when I was in college and always saw myself as a successful business person, I've always enjoyed all of the jobs that I've had, whether it's, you know, a receptionist or a waitress or selling jewelry or anything. So I think you have to make the best out of what you're doing for sure. But I knew that, you know, just a stay-home mom forever wasn't what I was going to be doing. And so after I had my 8-to-5 job, I thought, you know, I want something a little bit more flexible. I'm going to start to sell real estate. I've got more flexibility. I can do it on my own and be in charge of my own time and my own career. And, you know, I have enjoyed every moment of it. Certainly, it's had its challenges, and it's not so flexible as I thought. You're on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But that's okay. You can decide when you want to answer your phone and when you don't. Aside from my career, you know, I have a family, my husband and I, and we have two wonderful children who are married, and now I have 3 grandchildren. And so life is wonderful.
And I know that you're always very active and enjoy lots of sports and working out and staying healthy. And I know that's an important part of your routine as well.
It is when I have time, of course, but you have to make time for yourself. And that's one of my New Year's resolutions this year, is to find more time for myself so that I can work out more and be healthy. Because if you don't have your health, you know, you don't have anything. So that's super important.
Well, that's awesome. So maybe we can even grab a little bit more time for a lunch here and there.
For sure. We keep saying that.
I know. All right. So tell me about how this business has shaped your lifestyle. So being an entrepreneur, basically, even though you worked at Jiffy for those 13 years, and I know you, you have been an entrepreneur pretty much all of your life and really have seen yourself that way. So how has this shaped your lifestyle?
Well, my husband and I both, he is in sales and he works an awful lot. So our lifestyle is we work a lot, but we also get opportunities to do fun things as well. So certainly the financial independence that I have with having my own business, you know, you can determine how much you want to work, how successful you want to be. And I don't mind working and I want to be successful financially and really, we can do what we want to financially. Not everybody can say that, but you know that's certainly a good thing. I can work at home. I can get up when I want to in the morning, and I can go to bed as late as I feel like it. So the other thing that it's done is it's given us the flexibility. For example, even this next week, my husband has a business appointment in West Palm Beach, and so we are making a long weekend out of it, and I'm going to travel with him. We're going to head out Friday and take some time off. I take my computer with me and my phone, and as long as I have both of those, I can get up in the morning, do my work, and play the rest of the afternoon. So I don't have to ask for that vacation ahead of time or limit myself to 2 weeks. I can do that when I feel like it.
That's awesome. So what else has it done specifically for real estate? How has that shaped your lifestyle or made you more aware of things that are important?
Well, it's funny. When we built our home, I said, you know, I don't really care what everybody else wants. I want this in my home. And now I've learned that, you know, you really have to look to the future and marketability in your home. And whenever I work with a client, I always look at them and say, you know, this might satisfy you now, but you really have to look at the resale value and how easy it would be to sell this home down the road, because you may not have that same job or you may decide you want to move somewhere else. So those are one of the things that you do need to look at. The other thing is I realize how important it is to stay on top of changes and in the decor. I mean, it's just crazy. I can walk into a house that was built in 1995 that still has all the brass hardware and ceramic tile and carpet, and people don't want that anymore. They want hardwood floors and stainless appliances and granite countertops, and they want nice, new, updated things. So unfortunately, it's meant I've had to spend some money on my own house and update it.
That's awesome.
It's fun.
It is fun.
But it's expensive.
All right. I know that also you've been able to help your friends and your family find affordable homes for them as well.
Well, yes. Starting when the market was so crazy with foreclosures and short sales, I had to learn an awful lot. And one of the advantages was that there were some incredible deals out there. And my husband and I were able to purchase a few homes as investment opportunities. And my children also were able to take advantage of the market and purchase a home. They've since fixed those homes up, sold them, and made a great profit so that they could purchase a home that fits their needs right now. So yeah, that's been an awesome opportunity for everyone. You know, the down market was very unfortunate for a lot of people. It was really sad. I had clients that I would meet with and they would break down and cry. It was really hard. And I know for a lot of people, they didn't have options. They had lost their job or their income had cut back. So it was really a difficult time, but there were also a lot of people who were able to take advantage of that financially and get great deals on homes.
So what do you feel are some of your greatest skill sets that have helped you be successful in owning your own business?
Well, I think communication is probably one of the top skills. You have to have good communication skills. As a realtor, you have to be able to listen to people. You have to listen to hear what they want out of the sale of their home or what they want in purchasing a home. They also have to trust you. And I think one of the things that's one of my greater skills, and I don't even realize that it's a skill that I have, but I've had many people tell me that they really trust me and they appreciate my honesty and how much I care. And I don't want to put a person in the wrong home. I want to hear what they're looking for and I want to help them find the home of their dreams. So it's fun. It's exciting. I love finding the right home for people. So probably, when you list out the skills, your communication skills are very important. Trust, honesty, and caring, along with listening. Certainly, you have to be able to listen to people.
And myself, knowing you, I know that if you label all that, I would look at you have incredible people skills. And I think that you just, and people say, how do you build that trust? And I do think it's in listening. But I think you're also really great about, you just make people feel important, no matter who they are, no matter what their economic background is, you make them feel that in that moment that what you're doing for them and they are the most important person. And that's a skill that I see that maybe you don't always even see in yourself. But I know that is how you feel. When you say you care, I just want to try to identify for people, what do some of these things really mean and how do they play out in real life? Do you have any great examples for us maybe?
Well, for one example, when the market was low, in any time, there are people out there, maybe they can only afford a $100,000 home. When you have your own company, sure, you can choose to work with whoever you want to. But, whether you're working with somebody that can afford only $100,000 or maybe they can afford $1 million home, everybody deserves the opportunity to find a home. And I enjoy working with people, when it's their first home and they've got that low budget, they're just important as that person that's looking for the $1 million home. And you have to take that into consideration because you know what? They may have a friend who's that $1 million buyer. You really don't know. And referrals in my business, referrals is where my business comes from.
That's awesome. And that's a really good point for most people that are in any type of sales, really, and in life, because we get referrals for all sorts of things. And that referral comes when people, they'll do business with you if they like and know and trust you, but they only will refer you to others if they really like, know, and trust you. So that goes back to our whole communication, honesty, caring. And I think that's the real learning lesson here is referrals are huge. And so why would anyone want to refer you to someone else?
Exactly.
All right. So tell us a little bit about maybe an obstacle or a challenge that you faced and how did you work through that?
Well, every job has obstacles, of course. So probably one of the biggest obstacles with many people is keeping up with technology. My gosh, Facebook and Instagram and the social media and, technology in general. If you don't text and you don't have a smartphone, you're not going to go very far in the business world. So, those are things that have been around for a long time, but you have to keep up with technology. And honestly, that's something that I struggle with. It's not my interest. I need somebody to just come and set everything up for me and get me rolling. I don't have the time to figure it out and learn it all. But technology is obviously an obstacle. When I started, the decreasing market was certainly an obstacle. I had to do a lot of learning. You had the foreclosures and the short sales, and those were things that most realtors didn't have to deal with. I had no idea what a short sale was. And so there were many, many things that you had to learn. But, you have to have a positive attitude. You have to be ready to go. You got to be ready to learn and keep on top of things. The other thing probably that was an obstacle for me was you can't let your feelings get hurt. And you might meet with that client and they may choose another agent. And you can get your feelings hurt. You can think, why didn't they choose me? What didn't I do? And I've actually asked people, I said, I'm sorry, I don't mean to put you on a spot, but I'm just looking for ways to improve myself and my business. So if there's any feedback you can give me, I would certainly appreciate it. It's kind of hard to ask people that, but I have done that. And they've given me some good tips. And the other thing is when you have a family member or a friend who decides to use another agent, that, you know, you can have your feelings hurt with that. But you just, you know, you got to not let it bother you. Don't let it bring you down. It could be that they were closer to that other person, or they just don't want their friends involved with their financial personal business. So you can't let that get in the way.
Those are awesome points, because I think a lot of people get sidetracked with the why. Why didn't they pick me? Why didn't I get that job? Why didn't I get that business? And they become so paralyzed that they don't move forward with the next best business that is right around the corner.
Right. Yep. You can't focus on that. You've got to focus on staying positive and having a great attitude.
So tell us, what does working from your happy place mean to you?
Working from my happy place, I mean, probably the first thing is the freedom that you have when you have your own business. There's lots of positives. There's many things that you can take advantage of, but you also have to realize that if you're going to own your own business, it takes a lot of hard work. And probably one of the things that I didn't realize when I started this job was how much work it really would take. And you really have to love what you're doing. As I mentioned, my husband works a lot. So he's gone quite a bit and traveling, and my kids are grown up now. So I'm home by myself, and basically I work all the time now. And it's okay. The other thing is it's really hard to turn it off. So working from my happy place means I'm going to work a lot, but you know, I can set my own hours. Again, I've got the freedom. I can take the vacations I want to. I can spend time with my family. And people don't have to know where you're at when you're working.
That is the great thing about technology today, isn't it?
It certainly is. Yep. I can be in Florida. I can talk on my phone. I can answer my emails, and they have no clue where I am.
So what is something that you're extremely proud of?
Well, when you ask me what I'm most proud of, I'm most proud of my family. But we'll save that for another conversation. I have an awesome family. But probably the other things that I'm most proud of, the success that I've had. I am proud that I've been able to start a career and be as successful as I am. I'm one agent, and I compete with some of the top teams out there. So, you know, that when you sit down and think about it and I look at my numbers, I am really proud of that. And it is pretty incredible. I do work an awful lot, so that helps explain why. But it is pretty amazing when you think about all the people that you've put in homes. So finding that perfect home for somebody, getting a good deal, aside from the financial success, those are things that I'm really proud of too. I love it when somebody loves their home.
And you know, going back to some of the skill sets, I was just thinking about you as you were talking about this. And I think that it's really important for our listeners to hear this too. But Debbie, you are incredible about following up with people. You, even though you may be in Florida or you may be going to Palm Beach like you're getting ready to do, you get back with people within a very short period of time. Isn't that true?
Well, you know, you have to. With technology the way it is right now, you know, you might get a text from somebody or an email. They want to see a house. And if you don't get back to them for a couple days, they've moved on. They've found another agent. So you really have to stay in contact with people, because people nowadays expect an answer immediately. So, and I even struggle with that. I mean, thank you for saying that I'm good at doing that. I really do try, but I also struggle within myself saying, oh my gosh, I really have got to give so-and-so a call. I told him I'd get back to him, and that'll just eat at me until I've done it.
Awesome. So do you keep good lists? Like, what kinds of things do you do to help organize yourself to make that happen?
Well, you should see my desk. I have lists all over the place. I've got a stack of lists that I really need to go through and make sure that I've crossed everything off. But yes, I make out a list. It's a very old-fashioned way of doing things. I have my lists on my smartphone, of course, but those are more personal. For my work, I have just a plain old piece of paper and a pencil, and I got a list, and it's got check marks and cross-offs all over the place.
Well, you know, I'm still the same exact way myself, and I know it works. So,
yeah. And aside from a planner, I still carry a planner.
That's awesome. All right, so this has been delightful, but in closing, what advice would you give to others who want to be an entrepreneur, who want to leave that 9-to-5 job or want to have more control of their own life? What kind of advice would you give to them?
Well, I think the first thing that they need to think about is what they would enjoy doing. And I love my job. Honestly, I've always thought homes were exciting. I've always loved decorating. When I was a little girl, I would design homes and decorate them on my own. And it just has always been something I've been interested in. So real estate was something I had always thought about, but I also knew it's a hard career when you have a family that's at home because you are working weekends, you're doing those open houses, you're working evenings, you are working when people have time off. And so it has to, this career specifically, I couldn't do it until it was a good fit for me. And after my kids were grown up, that was the perfect time. So you have to love your job. It's always going to be on your mind. I might be sitting, by the pool, but I'm thinking about, okay, who do I need to call or what email do I send or who do I need to do a home search for? I mean, it is always on your mind. So you want to make sure that you enjoy it and you love it. That's probably the most important. The other thing is you have to realize it's going to take a lot of hard time. You've got to put your time in and it might not start out real successful. It takes time. In my career, again, you might not sell a house the first year that you're in the business. It takes time. You have to build relationships. You have to build those referrals. So you have to be patient. You have to keep current. You have to put in a lot of hard work. And most importantly, you have to love your job.
That's great advice for anyone out there wanting to go out on their own. And I think, unfortunately, for a lot of people today, and especially in a society that is, go after that next shiny object, people just aren't patient enough. They don't want to put their time in. If they try something and if it doesn't work out in the first 2 weeks, they're ready to move on to something else. And it just doesn't happen that way, does it?
No, it doesn't. Yep. You got to give it time and you got to work hard. I think, it's people don't realize how much hard work it really takes to have your own business.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Debbie. I know that people are going to glean a lot of great nuggets here today. And it's just one more example of, even in a very depressed market, and it was something that you had never done before. When I looked at that time of year, like I looked at builders and even speakers, it was anybody that really, worked with people and did sales. It was a very difficult market because it really was like the people there was, say there were, 1,000. Let's just say there's 1,000 people. And so the ones that really made it were the ones that had been there for a long time and that were at the top of their game and had a reputation that they were able to, really stay on. And it was even challenging for them, but those were the ones that sort of survived. And what is so amazing about you is that's when you were starting your career and you still ended up being one of the number one real estate agents when you were starting in one of the most depressed markets that there was. And so that to me is so admirable. And I can brag on you, and it's sometimes hard for us to brag on ourselves. But I know that that is the true test of time when you can come in. And there's also another really great learning curve in there is I remember when I was in direct sales and I had some of my best years, and that you were with me at that time as one of the leaders in my team. And that was in that's late 80s and early 90s. And when you read back on books, it's like the recession in 87 and then in 91. And I'm thinking, what recession? I don't remember a recession because, man, we were killing it at that time.
Yeah.
And I think that it's important that if you just do those things you need to do, treat people right, work hard, be patient, learn your craft as best you can, then you can be successful no matter what time it is.
Exactly. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Debbie, for being with us today.
Thank you again.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.